So, welcome to show number two for 2017.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm pretty surprised we were able to pull it off. My money was on not doing it this week.
But we came back. We were ready. We're prepared. You didn't move.
That's true. I didn't move between episodes. That's the big problem. But what if I want to move?
That's okay. Well, just let me know this time.
We'll sort it out. That's a pretty great intro music brought to you by Steve McGillicuddy and his high-flying fandangos.
Yeah, we paid big bucks for that.
Yes.
I think we should do it on kazoo or something, and we'll do our own rendition.
You know what we'll do? We'll send out a worldwide competition, and we'll have people
Yeah.
submit from around the world. Or not.
Yeah, maybe we Mom? Can you still play the piano? Maybe
Hey, we
some
got a new sponsor,
ragtime.
John.
We do.
Yeah. Oh, I'm Jed Rigney
And I'm
and
John
you're John
Sample.
Sample. Yeah. I think we said that in simultaneousness, didn't
We
we?
did. I
There's
did. I
some
think
sort
we
of.
did. And I think we have that on our notes every week, and I
Oh.
never say it. I think we've said it in the 12, 13 shows we've done, I think maybe once or twice. But we did this time. At Jed Rigney, at John Sample, your hosts
At
for
noonecares.twitter.com.
you go. New sponsor.
New sponsor. Hey, John, I've got a question for our listeners. That's right, listeners. And I put an S on there, John, because I checked the statistics and it's more than one now.
Awesome.
This one's for you. Do you love baseball so much that you'll listen to two random dudes talk about it on a podcast? Well, then you will also love spring training games are here. All the meaninglessness, I knew I was going to stumble that word. All the meaninglessness of an all-star game, but without the distraction of the all-stars. Players with jersey numbers so high they're only legal in Washington and Colorado. Sure, some people might just call these games practice, because it is. But who are these people to judge? Enjoy it now, spring training baseball. It's pretty good, I guess.
That's
New
good.
sponsor.
One of the things about spring training, I used to live in Florida and went when the Yankees had spring training in Pompano. I used to be able to jump out there for lunch and go to games. So I'd catch three, four innings, and we'd pay like $6 for bleacher seats and grab a dog and a beer and then go back to the office. But it was cheap back then. It seems like now it's an awful lot of money for people to spend to go and see practice.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, John. The last time I went to spring training, it was an all expenses paid trip by ESPN
Oh,
because I
wow.
won their first fantasy baseball league thing.
You did?
I did.
That's impressive.
I have
This is a
evidence to prove. This
national
was
thing?
ESPN's 1997, 98, their first year of fantasy baseball, where you actually paid to play. And there was a prize for each league. You got a shirt, which was really, when you're talking about collecting $200 from fantasy baseball players and giving them a t-shirt, that's just fantastic. But I won the grand prize, which was an all expense paid trip to spring training. I went to Vero Beach to watch the Dodgers because that's the Dodgers were the first spring training thing. Or I don't know, they're,
Was
maybe
that
they were.
the prize, or you got to pick where you wanted to go?
I got to pick whichever one I wanted to go to.
That's great. That was
Yeah.
that's awesome. It's pretty impressive.
Now it was very impressive. John, I'm still impressed by it to this day.
And do you have pictures and a plaque and
I got pictures, no plaque, but I got lots of pictures, and this is and oddly enough, the guy I went with has a lot of pictures of Hideo Nomo.
I was going to ask if Keith Law shook your hand, but I don't even know if he was born yet.
No, Keith was alive, but I think he was in college at the time. I was just a wee lad myself.
Yeah, you were. You were probably what, in your early 20s?
Yeah, like late teens.
Really? Wow.
Yeah,
You were a
no, early
stud.
20s. Yeah, no, it was
No
impressive.
wonder you're so good in
Yes,
fantasy
I
baseball.
try not to tell people who I'm playing fantasy baseball with that
That
I
you're going
did
to kick
that
their ass.
until after they've joined the league. Then I
Until
tell
after
them.
you've taken their money.
Yes, 2 years in a row. Yes.
In case you didn't know, I'm a pretty big deal. Thanks for the money.
Yes, basically.
Okay, so that took up a good 3 minutes. So now we can
John, let's not worry about time. You know, time is a flat circle. If we've learned anything from HBO shows.
Or Arrival, the movie Arrival. Well, you haven't seen any movies, have you? Did you see Arrival
I've seen
yet?
Arrival.
Okay.
And so, I've also seen The Arrival, by the way. Totally different movie, but also named Arrival. Charlie Sheen,
mm-hmm.
or as some people call him, Carlos Estevez, because that's his birth name.
Yeah.
I thought Arrival was better than The Arrival, but I didn't love Arrival.
Wait, well, I did. I thought it was.
You know, and many people did, and I just it was just a little bit not quite there for me. But I did enjoy the filmmaking.
Too circular.
Yeah, or I don't know. It's just sometimes, you know, like a movie is well made and well put together and well shot, like it's beautifully shot and the sound design is fantastic. And then it just doesn't quite do it for me. And that's a case there where I would certainly recommend people see it, though. It's exceptional filmmaking.
Okay.
Well, I don't think it got nominated for much, did it?
I think a 4 or 5, including director, some sound stuff.
And, yeah, sound stuff for sure.
What's her name? Incredible. Was best actress, nominated for best actress.
Really?
Or was she? No, maybe she wasn't.
I don't think she was.
It was Golden Globes. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Golden Globes, that works.
Okay, Gene Siskel, let's move on. So let's move on to we got our headlines for this week. Held a whole bunch of stuff, spring training, umpires, Tim Tebow. But let's talk a little bit about the fact that there's real baseball, like you said in your sponsor thing. It's not quite real baseball, but it's
real-ish.
It's real-ish.
Right? It's not fake news baseball.
It's always fun to see who comes fit and trim, who's hasn't lost weight, who's Noah Syndergaard comes another 15, 20 pounds of bulk on him. So he's looking more gorgeous than ever.
Bigger story there, though, was the Matt Harvey Steven Matz, Jacob DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard hair combo that was going on.
I didn't hear about that.
The internet was a flutter for at least temporarily. It's quite a spectacle. They look like a 70s rock band.
Really? Yes. Matz has the long hair too?
Was it Matz? I get Matz and DeGrom mixed up mainly because I don't really care. But yeah, no, I watched some games this weekend. Well, it's nice to tune in and watch balls and...
It was nice to watch. I watched two or three different games for like 5-10 minutes each. And in every single, it was three games. Every single game, there was a player with a number in the 90s up. And all three of them were left-handers. And all three of them scorched one down the third base line, squibblers. The base hits. So it's like, oh, that's a base hit. It's like, yeah, he's a little bit late getting around on, you know, against the double-A pitcher.
Well, what's the saying that the pitchers have the advantage?
Yes,
to start the season, and then the hitters
slowly
catch up. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
What's 95 mile an hour fastball? I guess it takes a little while to
catch up. Yeah,
catch up, and with movement.
Yeah. So do you watch? Do you intend to watch, or is it just kind of flipping channels? And
I'm more of like I'll put it on and then do something else while, and then I'll have it on with the audio either off or very low, and then I just, you know, it's just nice background. I can work on a writing thing or an editing thing or whatever.
Yeah,
and
it becomes white noise when it's especially when it's spring training.
Yeah,
and it also gives you an opportunity because MLB Network covers so many of the different games that you get to hear the other announcers from the different ball clubs. Which
I don't care about that at all.
You know,
I don't care about that at all.
The homers. What's more, listening to homers.
I don't like listening to homers. Like the MLB, whatever, the Game Pass or whatever. Mm-hmm. Man, no thanks.
I've done that before. And
I'd rather listen to it in Spanish, my friend. Mi amigo.
I've listened. I've had the package a couple times in the past, and I wind up watching, you know, for the first month.
That's what she said.
I wind up watching for the first month, and then I lose momentum. And the first 2 weeks, they do a promotion for free.
That's right.
And that's what she said.
Yes.
They do that for free at first, and then you got to pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like having the package during the regular season. That's what she said. I was waiting for you to drop it. That's what she said. Anyway,
okay.
I like it, but again, during the spring training, it's just, I don't know. It's cool to, I mean, you know, you can see young players, and I was watching the Dodgers play, and their two young hitters, Cody Bellinger and Alex Verdugo, both hit home runs in the same inning. That was kind of neat to watch. Both of them were were cranking as hard as they could against the guy that will probably not be pitching in the majors ever in his life. But
yeah, and this is the season of softball scores too. You see a lot of double digit scores in games, and 7-inning games or 6-inning games or games that end in at 9 innings at 4-4.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's how it should be. You don't want to risk hurting anyone. No, or you know,
usually,
get everyone their work.
Towards
it is
the
practice,
end,
after all, as our sponsor earlier mentioned.
Right. So let's move on. Speaking of or not even sponsors, but I was kind of thinking ahead. But, you know, the comment about they do get paid for it. They get paid to practice. So,
yes.
You know, and some of them.
Do they, though? I think it's unclear.
The players? Don't they?
Yeah.
They get paid, don't
they? I don't know if they actually get paid to practice.
Hmm.
I think they're protected for injury, but I don't think that I don't know that they actually get paid to practice.
So they don't start collecting paychecks until the season starts?
I believe that's the way it is. And for all of you listeners who are savvy to this sort of thing, why are you savvy?
And Tony Clark, if you're listening, give us a ring.
Yes, Tony Clark, switch hitting first baseman for the Tigers and others. Now the union chief.
Okay, so let's, speaking of overpaid players.
Well, wait a minute. And Tony Clark. He's embroiled in this whole thing, too.
Yes, he is.
Go ahead. I'll let you set it up.
Well, I was going to talk a little bit about the Levine versus Betances throwdown.
Yes.
Are we on the same
Tony Clark was not pleased.
No.
Because he's the union chief.
Right. So, but he said that they're moving on.
Of course.
And everybody's happy. But why don't you...
And everyone knows Levine is a dope.
All the Yankees brass are,
and
right?
Why this guy decides to run his mouth? Like, look, Betances shouldn't have put in for as much money as he put in arbitration. Okay, for those of you who don't know about arbitration in baseball, one, the team says, we think you're worth $3 million. The player says, I think I'm worth $5 million. The arbitrator doesn't find a middle ground. He picks one of the two, which I think is a silly system. Anyway, so if the player puts too high an amount, they just go with the lower team amount. The team amount is always lower than the player amount. And most of the time, it just gets settled before the actual arbitration hearing. But in this case, the Yankees won because Betances or his agent asked for too much money, but then Levine decided to run his mouth about how badly represented Betances was and how they were asking for way too much money. And blah, blah. And it's like, you're just making your player he's going to be a free agent. He's going to have a choice and he will want to leave you maybe unless you get more money, in which case he'll be fine.
Right. And you know, squabbling over $3 million is a lot of money.
And I think $3 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is to me. I don't think I've made $3 million in my lifetime.
He's squabbling over,
well, not to say that, you know, it's a pretty big difference. $3 to $5 million is pretty significant. But,
there
have
are
a good
certain
season.
Standards that are set by previous people that have come right. before. And just come on. Both sides are in the wrong.
But I did love the quote from Levine, that over-the-top demands based on very little sense of reality. Isn't that like a majority of baseball players? and a lot of
owners.
The owner thing, the bigger deal to me is that the owners are the ones to blame most of the time for the runaway salaries. And now that there's more money in the game, they don't really care. But they're the ones who keep paying. The Yankees were always blamed for, you know, pushing the market beyond what it was valued. But, you know, as long as they're willing to pay, what, you know, it's what the market will bear. And if the market is making tons of money and they're willing to pay, you know, players that sick amount of money, I just can't imagine what it's going to be like 10 years from now.
Right. It's just going to keep going up. Like, look at the NBA. What happened to the NBA, right?
Yeah, it just that blew up.
Like, and the people are getting like $20 million a year to be
like
a bench player.
$26, $27 million for these players that are, before that, were making $6 and $7 million.
Crazy, but there's so much money and it has to go to players, and you know, good for them.
And you have people like Steph Curry, who's making what, $14 million, and the cap is 27.6, something like that. Well, he's just gotta wait his turn. It is payday.
Stay
okay,
uninjured, he'll be fine.
What else we got? Four umpires retiring.
That's right, John. I put this on the list to discuss
today. Is that a record?
I don't know, but I wanted to specifically not mention their names because no one cares. One of the biggest problems with umpires is that they think that they're important, that they can't just be replaced.
They only become important when they have such a huge impact on a specific player.
When they're bad.
World Series game. So there's the Dechinger
call. Yes, the Levon Hernandez game.
Yeah, the Dechinger game back in, was it the Cardinals and Royals? The Royals wind up winning.
Yep.
The World Series as a result of a horrible call. I think that was Dechinger on that one. And then one of the retirees blew a perfect game with a bad call.
Oh, the Anibal Sanchez game?
Yes.
That one?
Or no, Galarraga.
Andres Galarraga, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Though maybe more notoriety for the almost perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Definitely. So we're gonna miss them. Two of them that are retiring were, you know, on the DL with bad knees. So, you know, they must have been working kind of hard in the offseason to sign.
And all four had concussion symptoms.
From foul balls off the head.
From foul balls off the head, exactly.
I wonder, there should be a study on that. Are umpires susceptible to concussion syndrome?
Well, they're certainly showing the symptoms.
Okay, speaking of showing symptoms, how about your boy Tim Tebow?
Let's talk some football. Let's talk some football, baseball combo. Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, Tim Tebow? Maybe not. Most people think he's a terrible baseball player, and this is all a publicity stunt for everybody involved, and why not?
Well, it's interesting that, you know, someone like of his caliber, which is, you know, development league at best, you know, rookie league
right.
at best, and he's having a press conference on his first day in camp.
Right. I mean, he is a celebrity, so it's worthwhile in a way, and, like, it's not like he's taking somebody's spot, I guess. But
was the NFL Network covering it?
I don't know.
I haven't really. I mean,
he's a polarizing guy, right? Like, a lot of people don't like him because of his faith stuff, mm-hmm. which is just stupid. Because who cares? He was a great football player at Florida that was not a great quarterback in the NFL, except for that one game.
Yeah, against the Steelers.
Against the Steelers, man,
which I loved.
Fantastic. Suck it, Steelers.
So he really put up big numbers in the Arizona Fall League. He slashed 194, 296, 242 in 19 games.
Oof.
Which is, so 62 at bats, he struck out 20 times.
Here, I just made this sound. That's all I have to say. That's my commentary.
I think
I'm going to
capture that sound bite. And we'll use that as a wah, wah.
Who else is there? Who else is in the NFL that wants to play baseball?
Yeah, there is somebody else, isn't there?
Sanders Cummings, which
yes,
either that or Cummings Sanders. I don't know.
Yeah, is he? I know nothing about him. So
he's a former Chiefs player, and he signed with the Braves. They actually signed him to a minor league deal. He might have a chance, but here's the thing: I these football concussions. I'd be kind of worried if I was a football player, like especially if you're. Like in a position where you're going to be hitting other people, you know, like every position on the field in football, baseball, there's no contact. I mean, yeah, there's every now and there's a, you know, line drive to the head or a fastball in the ribs, but man, that chronic therapeutic cephalositis, whatever, CTE, Carnegie telephone engineer, CTE, like whatever that is, like, I may have some myself, as it turns out.
Sounds like.
You know, the Will Smith
slaps.
Movie, man. Concussion, man.
Slaps. Yeah. Faceplants.
Yeah. So, like, it seems dangerous. So switch to baseball if you can.
And is that one of the reasons why he's the
I have no idea. I've done no research on this.
Okay. So you just saw an interesting headline that we could tie in with Tim Tebow?
Yeah, basically. And I liked his name, Sanders Cummings.
So he could do a podcast called Sanders Cummings and Goings.
Exactly. Or he could just do it Cummings and Goings.
Right. That would be good.
Oh, my gosh. If there was a guy named Goings,
oh,
there's got to be a guy named Goings.
Goings. Goings. G-O-I-N-S.
Oh, my gosh.
Goings. So Cummins and Goins could have.
Oh my gosh.
We got
John.
We
stop the record
up.
On this. Stop the record.
Him.
We got to call ESPN right now.
We should get him on our show. He shouldn't be that hard to get.
We've decided you guys are a new radio show called Cummins and Goins.
That's got to happen. It's got to happen.
In a perfect world, John, but not in Trump's America.
We'll see what we can do.
Moving along.
So another story that you had here is Joe Buck's boyfriend, Kyle Schwarber. Is going to be leading off for the Cubs this year.
I am a heavy set gentleman, and I love having a heavy set dude leading off games.
So what do you think the rationale is there?
Just on base percentage. I mean, Wade Boggs wasn't that fast. I mean, it's sort of fast, but he's not. But like, it's on base percentage. That's what you want. You want to get someone on base so that when Rizzo and Bryant and whomever else come up, have someone to knock in. So the standard logic or not logic, but the standard strategy, right? That's a word in the English language, right? Mm-hmm. Is mm-hmm. You put the fastest guy first. This is Dusty Baker, like 101 here. You put the fastest guy first and then he gets on and then he can score faster, which has some truth, but if he doesn't get on base enough, then it doesn't matter how fast he is.
Right.
Anyway, I love it. I'm all in on the big guys leading off, as long as the on base percentage is high.
Yep. And he came back after not playing the entire year and hit a double his first at bat in the World Series. So,
yeah, heck of a story.
Yeah, great story.
I wish Joe Buck hadn't been humping on his leg the whole time, but heck of a story.
Yeah. Did we ever talk about? I guess we didn't, because we didn't talk during the off season. Or during the playoffs, when somebody, because of Joe Buck's fawning all over him during the World Series, that someone actually created a wedding registry for Joe Buck and Kyle Schwarber. It was hysterical. I mean, they actually went through and filled it up with, I'm not kidding, hundreds of things that you would have at a wedding registry. It was hysterical. Very well done.
Fantastic.
So Kyle Schwarber leading off. The Cubs are going to win 125 games this year.
It's a fun spring training story, right? Like,
it is.
Who knows
it
how
is.
Long that'll last or even if it'll come to fruition. But, like, this is one of the cool things about spring training is Joe Maddon's always going to
be. And that's all about the, you know, that we're digging deep into stats and we're breaking away from old school mentality. And, you know, and so I was reading something yesterday in regards to the defensive switches that they've been doing and the shifts that they've been doing, and that it's now getting to the point where they feel that during this season, it's going to no longer be effective.
Right.
And they're going to switch back, you know, to, you know, traditional baseball because people are starting to, it's taken several years, but they're starting to game the defense and say, okay, if you're going to do that, we're going to do this. So players who have traditionally hit the other or pulled the ball are starting to learn to hit the other way. And they're starting to see this statistically where it's not always smart for them to be doing the shift. So that'll be an interesting thing to follow if you're a stat geek.
Yeah, I mean, they're always trying to, like, figure out the next wave, right? So it's like pitch framing a couple years ago was similar with the shifting where they were like, oh,
right,
let's see if we can get a catcher who is able to, you know, deke the umpire a little bit more than the other catcher. And, like, that had this, you know, sudden incredible value in the league. And then people started figuring out, then we'll just teach catchers to deke the umpires. So then the difference between the best and the worst has squashed down a bit. So it's not so valuable as it was.
But it still is something. It's amazing where the game has come. And, you know, stat geeks love it.
Yeah.
Sabermetricians love it. Fantasy players who have extended stats love it. And the players are probably, you know, you've got certain players who in the past would have been making big bucks that are sitting on the sidelines now because all they can do is hit home runs.
Right.
Hader
yeah, there
Alvarez.
Was a very weird turn this offseason where all of a sudden, and I would even say to the point where they were then undervalued too much, where all these, you know, guys like Encarnacion and Trumbo and like we're having trouble finding a team to give them a market rate contract. And they all settled for less than what everyone thought they would get. But if the market adjusts to a thing, sometimes it can adjust too far, you know, and I think that's what's happened with the shifts. I think the shifts have gone too far. There's too many shifts.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, okay, well, if you're going to go stand over there, then I'll just bunt it down the third base line, and then right. I'm on base for free.
Yeah, and it becomes a little bit too cute and not, you know, traditional baseball.
Yeah. But there's always, I mean, real sabermetricians always value traditional baseball and how the unchartable things is what makes it so fun to try to chart it.
But it's also become such a great tool for the financiers of the game, because they can use these statistics as comps against other players and say, yeah. well, you might be good here, but you're not really good here. And they're starting to value pitch framing, you know, like something that wasn't even thought of 10 years ago.
Right.
It's now being, you know, certain catchers are making more money as a result of their ability to enhance their pitcher statistics.
Right. Or losing money on their inability to
right, enhance. To do the same.
Like
right.
Derek Norris is sort of notoriously one of those guys, just not very good at making the pitcher look good. So, and there's a fantasy baseball strategy for those fantasy baseball listeners, is you can see what catchers, like you pick your pitcher based on how good they are, yes, but look at their defense. Like all the Cubs pitchers last year were very good and worth having on your team, partly because they were very good, but also because the defense was so good, and then the pitch framing by the catchers was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a pitch, if you're choosing between a pitcher, between two pitchers, and one of them is on a team with a good defense and a good pitch framer, that's a more valuable pitcher, because right. his overall statistics, while aren't necessarily his responsibility, and that's mm-hmm. some of the more advanced statistics, you know, the fielding independent statistics, they still, the results are still good. And in fantasy, you're looking at results, not necessarily underlying metrics. So
sure, and even ballparks come into play too. When certain pitchers
Absolutely.
Move to different ballparks or hitters move to different ballparks, it makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, the difference between Coors Field and the Athletics toxic dump, you know, where you have that huge outfield, big walls, big foul territory in Oakland.
That helps nobody.
It's great for pitchers, it's bad for hitters.
Right.
You know, and then you go to Colorado and it's just, you know, all that thin air and whatnot.
Or the bandbox is like Citizens and Yankee Stadium, you know, where it's just softball practice.
Yeah. Yeah, what else we got?
We got one more thing in our headlines, which is MLB pushing really hard on Facebook to try to be relevant in the social media age. They want to have one game a week streamed on Facebook, which is smart.
I love this. Here's the thing. And this is where the NFL fell down. The NFL tried to stream on Twitter. No one's going to stream on Twitter.
Yeah.
What are you, stupid? Twitter is a nightmare zone. Like, Twitter's where you go to yell. You don't go to stream a football game.
No.
Facebook, there's yelling, but not like Twitter. And someone will actually sit down and watch a video on Facebook.
And you could yell while you're watching the video.
That's the whole thing. And you can't do that on Twitter.
Right.
It gets in the way.
Well, and there's a realization that the generation that they want to reach is kids, and kids don't watch TV anymore.
Yeah. And there, you know, I think, you know, I read an article today or yesterday, I don't know, where they're talking about, you know, baseball has this age problem, right? And I don't know if I 100% agree with it, except of course you have to agree with it. If your audience is older, you'd have to be concerned about younger, but it could just be that people just get interested in baseball when they're older. You know, like the pace of baseball works better for you when you're 45 than it does when you're 25. Whereas basketball is much more interesting to a 25-year-old than a 45-year-old, in my opinion. I don't know. Got to check the metrics. Mm-hmm. Got to check the sabermetrics mm-hmm. on the attendance.
On the age.
Yeah. Baseball's making a gazillion dollars. I don't think they should be too worried about it.
Baseball is leisurely and not fast-paced. Like, I mean, football, I think, is leisurely too.
Well, I think football is in more trouble of a declining market than baseball is, mainly because its ratings are plummeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think baseball is in a better position, you know, like there's no like politicizing yet there. There's no concussion stuff there. It's just kind of chill. And you know, in the way the world is now, where it's, everyone is the worst or the best, Like, have you ever seen someone write an article that's just like, hey, this pretty interesting thing happened? No, it's the best thing that ever happened, right, or the worst thing. This guy is the worst. And then you say that, you got like 38 different people are the worst. Well, hello, worst means the worst.
Right.
So how can they all be the worst?
Oh, it's just like the thing with the news, breaking news. Every bit of piece of news that comes down the pike is not breaking news.
Exactly. You know, just because it's new news or new information doesn't mean it's breaking. It's just news. They've redundantized the word breaking news. Yeah. It's just news.
Right. That's what your job is, to tell us what's going on. But breaking news would be, has always been something significant.
Right. Where you're breaking into another program. Right. Where you're, this is, look out, this is of severe importance. Kellyanne Conway put her feet on the couch in the Oval
Office.
That's
breaking news.
While she was taking pictures. Twitter went insane over this. Great. Good use of time, everyone. Right. Please ignore the starving people in your community. Sorry. What are we talking about?
We were talking about Facebook.
Let's move on to the next thing.
So the next thing we got for in honor of the Oscars, we're going to do our starting nine, where I'm sure you're going to drop some great names on me for players that connect with Oscar winners.
Look, this one was almost too easy, John.
Okay.
There's so many great actors, and I don't know why I just chose actors, because I could have done directors or cinematographers or sound engineers, world-famous sound engineers. We could have done a whole thing on that. I decided to go with actors because generally they need the ego stroke more than the other people do. Well, except for the writers. Anyway, first up, Addison Russell, Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily an Oscar-level actor, but come on. The guy does great work. Also, Addison Russell does great work. Maybe not a superstar yet, but he does great work. Solid defense, good bat. I like him. Adam Duvall, Robert Duvall. Huh?
That was easy. Easy one.
For Viola Davis, or as I like to call her, Voila Davis. Because apparently I'm dyslexic. We got Chris Davis. And we got Chris Davis. And there's probably a couple other Davises, though, mm-hmm. Not necessarily either of the Chris's with a C or the K.
Okay, who's next?
All right, so, and then next up we have Nelson Cruz, Tom Cruise.
Easy.
Nelson Cruz, very underrated fantasy baseball player. I think he had that one bad year like 3 years ago, and everyone remembers it. That's a good player. Also, Tom Cruise, fantastic filmmaker.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he was a fantastic ball player. I was like, wow.
You know what? I don't think he is. I don't think he is. He runs. Man can run. Next up, Freddie Freeman. Of course, Morgan Freeman. Yes. Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. I remember Freddie Freeman back when he was in the Atlanta Braves minor league system.
That's pretty good.
That was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one I did earlier wasn't so great, but anyway.
That was much better.
Thank you. Thank you. I was going to shift into like this Sean Connery thing and cover up for it, but let's go on to the next one. Pedro Strop, Meryl Streep.
Okay. Two mediocre performers.
You know what, sir? I'll have you know Pedro Strop is a fantastic player.
Okay.
And, of course, Meryl Streep's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
For Adam Eaton, I have Jonah Hill, because he's always Eaton. No?
That's good. I like that one. It might be my favorite one of all time.
For Scarlett Johansson, I've got Johan Santana.
That's good.
It's almost there, right? And mm-hmm. then Daniel Norris for MF and Chuck Norris. He hasn't won any Oscars, but I think we all know why that is.
Because everyone's afraid that he's going to kick their ass.
Because he's not that good. But he's fantastic. I love him.
He does a mean infomercial for workout equipment.
Look, everyone loves Chuck Norris, okay? That's why I put him on the list.
Okay, good for Chuck.
What else we got?
We got, last week we did the AL West, so this week we're going to do the NL West projections from FanGraph and kind of see where they all
right, so FanGraphs has the Dodgers with 91 wins, Giants with 87, Rockies with 75, Diamondbacks with 69, nice, Padres 68. You know what? I used to have this joke when I was younger. I'd say, like, hey, let's do 68 instead, and I'll owe you one. The girls lined up around the block for that kind of classy humor. Anyway, back to these projections and not my limited high school social life. Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are clearly the best team in the division. I would be surprised if they only got 91 wins. I mean, I guess a lot of it depends on how the pitching staff holds up, but that's a pretty good pitching staff right there.
Yeah, that doesn't look like a very competitive division. Giants will be the Giants, but it looks like a two-team race there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love what the Giants are putting out on the field this year. It feels like everything's just a year older.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not really that good, you know? Like, usually you want it to get a little younger. And I don't feel like they did that. But, you know, they're limited with their budget, and I understand it's not like, you know, the Dodgers can just go out and get whatever they want. But, I mean, they got some holes too. But
they have the Bochy effect that they can always lean on.
Yeah. He'll always squeeze out an extra couple wins.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockies, some people think, I'm not excited about this. The Rockies, some people think, have a shot at the wild card, you know, if a few things go the right way. But I just don't think that they're set up right for...
They're going to score a ton of runs, as usual. But they're also, you know, they've always been hurt by their pitching not being able to deliver. So
yeah, fair enough. And then there's the Padres, who are one of the worst teams in baseball. Oh, no, we skipped the Diamondbacks, who are...
One of the worst teams in baseball.
Here's the thing about the Diamondbacks, though, right? They have a pretty good outfield and a pretty good infield and no pitching, except for Taiwan Walker and, I don't know, what else do they have?
Nothing that great, right? Cranky.
Like, I love Cranky, but I don't know why he chose to go to that team. I mean, whatever, a few dollars
money.
More. But his thing is just a few dollars, man. Anyway.
Less pressure.
That's probably a little bit too. But here's the thing. Let's say the Diamondbacks start off and they're 15 games out after a month and a half, 2 months. They have some awesome players to trade where they could do like what the White Sox did this offseason. They got Hazen, right? Isn't that the name? Hazen was with the Red Sox and he's the general manager now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy's not going to be afraid to trade off AJ Pollock. And I don't know about Goldschmidt, but can you imagine trading Goldschmidt and Pollock, even if it's at the end of the year, Greinke? Like, you could dump all these contracts and just super load up, have a top five farm system and be just ready to rock and roll in the coming years. Cause I don't think they have right now enough to be spending all their money on Greinke and Goldschmidt.
Right. Well, they rolled the dice with two poor managers, upper GM and president. They just kind of screwed the pooch on that.
Yeah, the La Russa Stewart thing was just...
My favorite thing Stewart said last week was that he just feels like he wasn't given an opportunity to fulfill what his vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he'll be able to fulfill.
Thus spoke the arsonist.
I think he's an agent again, right? So he's back to the agent thing.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so that completes the baseball portion of our broadcast. Now we move into our take on extra innings, look at what's going outside the baseball world.
Yeah, and there's a lot this week.
There's a lot, yes, there was.
And yeah, I was surprised.
There's tons. There's probably even more than what you have on here.
Well, yeah, but, you know, who cares about that stuff? I just wrote the good stuff down.
This is the absolute best of the best. Politics notwithstanding. Oh, no, I'm just saying that, you know, it's...
I agree. There's other things that happen besides these things we're going to take off.
No, I mean, I'm just saying that it was a busy week.
Yeah, it was.
And because we made the distinction last week that we're not going to add politics,
yes,
we are eliminating probably 200 or 300 that would very easily make the list.
Right, and the reason and you why already we mentioned can't discuss one of them, Kellyanne Conway's, mainly is because you know, that was an offhand remark, and I apologize. That was
one of the extra innings items. It's one of those things. It's like, really, do we care? I don't care.
We care, John, because it matters. Okay, Obama would have never put his feet on the couch.
Well, he got ripped for putting his feet up on his desk.
I know. That's the thing. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Settle down. Let's talk about the Daytona 500.
There you go.
I'm telling you, look, as you know, John, and some people may not know, probably don't know, I used to write for NASCAR.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I used to write for NASCAR. I did not enjoy the sport that much, but I will say the people were very interesting, and hanging out in the pit crews and stuff like that was always very interesting. But I'm going to tell you one thing that the people who love NASCAR love more than beer and shotguns and their cousins and pickup trucks.
Accidents.
Accidents, man. And if you sit in a crowd at a NASCAR race, the only thing the fans are looking for are crashes. That's mm-hmm. the only thing. That's what they get up for. They don't care about the racing technique and the, oh, look, he's taking the high side and he's drafting. Right. And like, no one cares. They just care about the crashes. And Daytona 500 did not disappoint. Practically a demolition derby. Fantastic spectacle. Everyone got what they wanted and somebody won.
So let's move. Well, the other thing I was going to say is this, you know, when you were saying that the people show up for the accidents, the only time, you know, people went to, the only reason why people went to watch Evel Knievel when he used to jump cars and fountains
right.
and gorges was
right. They
to,
don't want to see him do it.
Yeah. They want to see him, you know, Raggedy Ann all the way down the ramp. That's what they want.
There's a 5% chance he's going to miss that landing.
So, okay, let's move on. Next up, we've got Adrian Peterson and Jamaal Charles, two big names available for your team to pick up, whoever your team may be.
Yes, and this is what's interesting about this, right, is both of these guys are a little bit over the hill, right, Peterson mm-hmm. and Charles. Like two, I mean, Peterson's probably a Hall of Famer. Charles might be, I don't know, it's hard to tell with NFL. Baseball is easier to figure out than the NFL. Really solid guys. I think a little injuries for both, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could go onto a team. You could throw onto the Patriots or the Broncos, a team that's close, you know. They could ride in for that Super Bowl run. Interesting stuff. You don't usually see that. You don't usually see two good players.
But
big
I think the running back position is a 6-year window. By the time they hit late 20s, they're pretty much done. You know, so they got to, you know, you see that decline. It's just the punishment that these guys get. So it'll
be the Terrell Davis thing, right? Like
right.
Mm-hmm. for 5 or 6 years, one
Marshawn
of the best
Lynch.
Running backs.
Marshawn Lynch went from being the best to in one season started getting injuries. And just I give him a lot of credit for hanging up. Just like, it's not, you know, if I can't.
And he got so bad at the end that Pete Carroll needed to pass.
Yeah.
At the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
That was a nice stroll down memory lane for Patriots fans.
Yeah, Patriot fans.
The beset know, upon poor, Patriots fans
yeah,
who have
fans.
Had to Tough. Suffer all these years.
7 Super Bowls, 8 Super Bowls, and what, 13 years? That's hard.
It's been hell of a run.
Yes, it has. Okay, should we talk about the Oscars a little bit?
Let's talk about the Oscars, right?
Of the Oscar
so,
legend.
Obviously, the spectacular snafu. Though I wouldn't say necessarily snafu, because snafu is situation normal.
Right.
And I've never seen anything like this, where they gave the award to someone, and then they were like, everyone's on stage, and it's the only one where everyone comes on stage.
Right.
It wasn't like they gave it to the wrong, you know, music supervisor. Best song. And like, oops, no, it's Barbara Streisand. Sorry. Sorry, Lin-Manuel Miranda, or whatever. I don't know what his name is. Miranda. No.
Yeah, you got it. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Okay, good. Yeah. And, but yeah, everyone's up there. And then it's like, oh no, we didn't win. Moonlight won.
And I thought different reactions, you know, to that was like, oh, it's so bad that Moonlight had their moment stolen from them. I'm like, well, what about the guys from La La Land having the rug ripped right out from under them?
It's brutal.
Now, that was definitely joy of agony, or the joy of victory, the agony of defeat moment right there.
I mean, the thing about it, too, is like all the social justice warriors sharpening their knives, right? They were already... They already had their pre-written piece about how La La Land winning meant white supremacy was real, and they clicked publish. on their Medium page, their Medium blog, or their Tumblr, and then 2 minutes later, no, it was Moonlight. I have to unpublish my thing, and then I have to be angry at something else other than the white supremacy ratified by the La La Land winning, because who cares who thinks what movies are better than other movies?
So now you have the hashtag Oscars are so black going around. Any other Oscar commentary? Did you like Halle Berry's hair?
You know, I didn't pay particular attention to it. I didn't pay particular attention to much of the Oscars this year. Again, as we mentioned last week, or as I mentioned last week, and you heard, thus making a we, I wasn't really familiar with a lot of the movies this year due to my personal distractions in the world. I had no idea, so I didn't watch this year, which is normally I at least have it on.
Oh, you didn't watch the awards at all?
Yeah, no, I just sort of was saw the stuff on social media, the fallout afterwards and stuff. So, yeah, I was... I don't even know what I was doing. I think I may have just been like hanging out. I don't know, watch a movie or something. But not a movie that's been nominated for an Academy Award this year.
But let's move on to something more important, something that everybody's talking about and needs to be talking about. And you know, it's probably the most important thing we'll talk about today.
Yes, that's for
Is rapper Fat Joe losing 100 pounds.
Yes. Okay, here's the thing. This is what's known as a paradox. If Fat Joe loses 100 pounds, you can't call him fat.
No.
He's just so Joe.
Skinny Joe?
Nope, because he's not skinny, right? It's just like Joe.
So he's going to be normal Joe?
Medium Joe?
Medium Joe.
Extra medium? I don't know. It's like, what does he do now? Like, that's his whole brand. You can't ruin your brand. Like the Suicide rapper, Girls, you can't just not be suicide-ish and be like, oh, look, no, it's just girls now.
So he's now going to be the rapper formerly known as Fat Joe?
Yeah, maybe he can be Hungry Joe.
Or Not So Fat Joe. Yeah, Hungry Joe, I like that. Starving Joe.
Starving Joe. Hold on, let's put this on pause. Stop the record. Let's get ESPN and Fat Joe together, or Medium Hungry Joe, along with Cummings and Goins. All right, what else
could
we got?
Be fun.
Anything else?
Last, we got one more left, and this is another one of those things that it can only happen in Hollywood. Magician Daryl Easton. Apparently there's some news around him, and I'll let you kind of...
Oh, right. Okay, story. That one. Yeah, so he was found dead in...